This is NPR News. I'm Ed Gordon, and this is News and Notes. For nearly 40 years, Hakim Atubuti's Third World Press has published some of America's most important writers. Gwendolyn Brooks and Amir Baraka have found voices there, as has Matabuti himself. The Chicago writer's latest work is an autobiography called Yellow Black, the first 21 years of a poet's life. We talked about the book's title.
Yellow Black, as you know, I'm light-skinned. And
yeah, us yellow folk know about it, but tell those who may not know, Haki, what it is.
I came up through the Black Arts Movement, and during that movement, we were all trying to be as black as possible, and I was often called Yellow Black, as was my mother. Who was a very beautiful woman. She was born in Little Rock, Arkansas, as well as I. And we ended up going up south to Detroit, Michigan, as John Killens would say, before I was 1 year old. My father ended up leaving. It was a very difficult process, not having a high school education. And she ended up, with the beauty that she had, going to the streets. She and a friend began to deal with black ministers, as well as other ministers. My mother worked in the sex trade. But see, being high yellow, she was the closest woman to white that dark-skinned black men could date without getting killed at that time. Mm-hmm. She would often tell me how much, especially the dark-skinned black men, hated themselves, and that hatred also turned into physical violence against her. But she was the one, Ed, who introduced me to libraries. My mother asked me to go to the Detroit Public Library to check out Richard Wright's Black Boy. So I found a book on the shelf, put it to my chest, and walked to an unpeopled section of the library and sat down and began to read. And for the first time in my 14 years on the earth, I was reading literature that was not an insult to my own personhood. And that was the beginning of this journey that I've been on for the last 45, 50 years.
Haki, I want to talk to you a bit about the importance of literature and art in your life and what it meant, but I want to take you to writing this part. How difficult was it to really revisit some very painful moments for you?
It was very difficult in many ways because I'm 63, Ed, and I started writing the book 3 years ago when I turned 60, primarily because my father passed, and we were never close. And my mother was a woman who never had a chance. I remember the first time we went to one of the very large churches in Detroit, Michigan, and Reverend Wright was a pastor. And before she got out the church, he was at the front door meeting her and whispering in her ear. And, of course, that same week we moved into his building in the basement apartment where she was supposed to become the janitor. But essentially she was his outside woman. He visited her twice a week, generally on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I'll never forget him telling her never to come back to his church. As that went on, about a year and a half after the relationship, he was running for the presidency of the National Baptist Convention. Somehow fell off the podium, hit his head, and he died. And a week after that, my mother was put out. We were put out of the apartment by his family. Eventually, she moved into drugs and alcohol. It was not only difficult for me, but for my sister, because my sister became pregnant at 14 years old, one of the major gang members in Detroit. And once she was impregnated at 14, it seems that every other year she would have a child. And these are by different men for the most part. For me to find libraries and begin to devour books was a way out of the condition which I was living in on a day-to-day basis. And I watched my mother deteriorate. But books, music, and eventually visual art saved my life.
Mm-hmm. Was there anyone else in your life that gave you the fortitude to make it through conditions that many of us, quite frankly, would not have seen our way through?
When I finished high school, I couldn't find a job. I joined this magazine-selling group, traveling across Illinois into Missouri, stopping in small towns, selling subscriptions to the magazines of the day, you know, Ebony Jet, Life. And my lie was working my way through Howard University. Obviously, I'd never been to D.C., never been to Howard University, but I had read Alain Locke. I had read Sterling A. Brown. I had read E. Franklin Frazier, Black Bourgeoisie, and so forth. And so I knew a little bit about some of the professors that worked in Howard and knew a little bit about the city. Got into Springfield, Illinois, knocked on this door, went into my spiel, and I'm working my way through Howard University. Well, an elderly black man answered the door who was a Howard University Law School graduate. Now, rather than jump into my chest, because he knew I was lying after, say, maybe a minute or 2 minutes, he asked me if I was hungry, and obviously I looked hungry. I asked his wife to fix me a sandwich and give me something to drink. He bought a subscription to Jet and Ebony and maybe Life. And he said, young man, I know you're not telling me the truth, but I want to tell you something. What's coming online across this nation now, and this is 1960, are community colleges, two-year colleges for men and women without major resources, and you should look into that. And I thanked him. I said, yes, sir, I will. And as I got up to leave, Ed, he called me. I was going toward the door. He called. He said, son, wait a minute. And I kept moving because I didn't think he was talking to me. No one ever called me son before. Mm-hmm. And so I turned toward him, and he went into his wallet and put out a $20 bill and folded it in quarters and said, here, take this and put it in your wallet and use it for emergencies. And as I looked at this man, he had bought his subscription, had fed me, and tears began to come down my eyes because that's the first time that kind of kindness had been shown to me. And that has kind of shaped my life, all of my life.
When you look at all of what you've gone through in your life, and you look at the idea that the story you just told of reading, learning about Howard University, almost, I would bet, fantasizing in your own way, making yourself believe it. And then later on, in 2003, being honored at that university with your own day, to some degree, I would think that you have to appreciate the fortitude that you found within yourself to make it.
Yes, but again, I found mentors. I mean, El Hajj, Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X, Margaret Burroughs and Charlie Burroughs, who were the founders of the DuSable Museum right here in Chicago. And then, of course, my cultural mother for over 33 years, Gwendolyn Brooks. These persons spent time with me and told me in no uncertain terms that you can be a writer, you can be a good writer, you can be a great writer. But most, just as important, reading this literature, I stopped feeling sorry for myself, I stopped feeling inferior. And what the literature does, it empowers you. And so my mentors, this reading, this community, this struggle in this country, which is a daily struggle each and every day. And of course, Katrina proved that in terms of what's happening with our people down in New Orleans, that very little has changed. But we, I, you, and others who have this knowledge must be in a position all the time to give back.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. The book is titled Yellow Black, The First 21 Years of a Poet's Life, a memoir by Hakim Adubuti. And as always, man, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.